Good morning. Good to be here with you all. Pastor Daniel, I am the youth pastor here now. Got to get used to saying that, yeah. Last week was my first week as youth pastor, and in the time leading up to the transition, and since then, I kind of was thinking about what it was like for me when I was a teenager. And I don't really remember it being a pleasant time. Middle school and high school are hard. They're hard times. They can be really tough. I remember coming into high school as a freshman, and the building was new, and all the people were new, and the teachers, and everything was new. I was nervous and scared and insecure, and I felt like everyone was looking at me. Even though they probably weren't. I felt like everyone was looking at me. The worst part of that first day was lunchtime. You know how it is. You walk in and you're looking for somebody you know. You got to find a place to sit. You're just, look, it's that classic scenario. It's in all the movies where you come in and you're new and you're just trying to find a place. But you've already found your place. You found your table, your community, your friends. Lunch is a fun time for you. Life is good. You sit there enjoying your time. You're enjoying the glory of having a place during that time. Then you spot him. He's that freshman coming in to the cafeteria. You can see the fear in his eyes as he looks for somewhere to be. He's in. To him, the cafeteria is huge. It's giant. All that space. He goes in and you watch him as he goes to get his food and figures out, you know, how you do this. It's all different. He comes out and he's looking around and around trying to find a place. You can tell he doesn't see anyone he knows because he would go straight there. Maybe he's new. He's certainly an outsider. As he looks around, looking for an open place, your eyes meet. You're stuck there. And you see a glimmer of hope flash in his face. And you're presented with a choice. What are you going to do? We'll come back to that story in a minute. If you'll turn with me to Acts 10. And as you turn, if you'll stand, as we'll prepare to read here. Acts 10, we're going to start at verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open up and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this time of worship, this time together. We pray that you would continue to be with us as we continue to worship by hearing from you through your word, Lord. Open our hearts and minds and ears as we expect to hear from you, Lord. Speak to us today, Lord, for we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Peter is hungry. It's about lunchtime. As he waits for lunch, he finds a quiet spot to pray. He heads to the roof. The cooks are running a little late. They're taking too long. Peter's getting really hungry. But he's patient, waiting, and continues praying. I would not be as patient as Peter is. I couldn't focus on praying if I was hungry, if we were late for lunch. I just wouldn't be able to focus. If we go to a restaurant and they're taking too long with the food, I just get irritated and agitated, and I get hangry even. If you're not sure what that is, that's hungry and angry together. Hangry. So Peter's waiting patiently, but as he's waiting, he goes into a trance, the Bible says. And I'm sure if this service goes to 12:30, 1 or later, many of you will fall into a similar trance. A mixture of hunger and fatigue kind of led to this. But in this trance, God speaks to Peter. God shows him a vision. The vision's kind of odd for us, but also for Peter. He's kind of confused by it. Luke says, something like a sheet comes down from heaven at the four corners. I imagine like a projector screen, pulling down a projector screen to watch a video. But of course, Luke and Peter didn't know what that was, so they just call it a sheet. And on the sheet, Peter sees every kind of animal. There's a few different kinds named there, but it represents all the animals that there could be. Now, there are two kinds of animals for a Jewish person. There are unclean animals, and there are clean animals. Clean animals are the kind you can eat. Unclean animals are the kind you cannot eat. So Peter sees all of the animals, clean and unclean, there on this sheet, there in this vision. And while Peter is seeing this, God tells Peter, get up, kill, and eat. Peter's surprised, even a little horrified at this idea. He says, surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Peter is a faithful Jew. He doesn't eat unclean things. He follows the law, the dietary laws. If we go back to Leviticus 11, that's where we'll find out about what is clean and what is unclean to eat. It's this whole chapter of animals you can and cannot eat and what that all means. And basically, you have to watch for hooves and chewing the cud and which animals do what each of which. And there's no reptiles. You can't eat the reptiles. No rodents. That includes squirrels for some of us here. Can't eat squirrels. You can't eat all bugs. You can eat some bugs like crickets and grasshoppers. But there's this whole chapter on what you can and cannot eat, what's clean and what's unclean. God gave these laws to Moses at Mount Sinai. The Jewish people have followed these laws for hundreds of years. These laws are tied to their identity. All the other people around may eat all these different things. They may eat whatever they want, but not Israel. They are different. They're set apart. They're holy. God called them to be holy, to be different. So Peter would never eat anything unclean. Three times God shows him the vision. The sheet comes down. He sees the animals. God says, kill and eat. Peter says, surely not, Lord. Three times that happens. Three times Peter tells the Lord, surely not. That number three seems to haunt Peter, doesn't it? If we remember back to the end of the Gospels when Jesus is going to trial and going to be killed, there are some people who ask Peter and say, aren't you with this Jesus? And three times he says, nope, I don't know him. Denies Jesus three times. Here he is again, denying Jesus three times. After the third time, the sheet is gone, the vision's over. And of course, Peter's confused. What does this mean? He's thinking to himself. Well, Peter has kind of missed what God's trying to do here. He's missed the point. The vision seems to be about food, but it's not really about food. All through the book of Acts, the disciples are riding the coattails of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is continually moving and spreading the gospel and reaching new people, different people, and the disciples almost can't keep up. Every story you see the Holy Spirit ushering them along to go, come on, let's go to the next place, going along. Spread. The Holy Spirit is trying to include more and more people, different, strange, even unclean people. You see, the story starts with spreading the gospel to the Hebraic Jews. Those are the Jewish people who live in Jerusalem. Those are the Jewish Jews. Basically, they're the ones in Jerusalem. Then they go to the Hellenistic Jews, which live out in the Roman Empire, all over the Roman Empire. And they're still Jewish by their family and beliefs and practices. And then the Holy Spirit moves to the Jewish converts. Like, if you remember the Ethiopian, Philip in the Ethiopian, he was a convert to Judaism. So where could the Holy Spirit go next? Could the Holy Spirit go to full-on Gentiles? Is God expanding his people beyond the Jewish people? Honestly, Peter should not be surprised by this vision. He should have been expecting it. He should have been ready for it. Jesus told them at the beginning of Acts exactly what would happen and what they were supposed to do. In Acts 1, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We've seen all the others. We're coming up to the ends of the earth. Peter even preached a sermon about this on Pentecost. He quotes the prophet Joel, and he said, God says, "I will pour my spirit out on all people." Peter preached a sermon about this. But he goes back even earlier, even to the beginning of Luke's gospel. We see prophecies and the things that Jesus is doing that tell us that Jesus and his followers will be a light and a revelation to the Gentiles. But he goes back even further than that, all the way back to Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise. God promised that his children, his family, would bless everyone, the entire world. All people would be blessed through Abraham. All people of all times and places would be blessed through Abraham. And that blessing is Jesus. Jesus is the one who will include all people into the community of God. Maybe Peter is thinking about these things as he sits there and is wondering what the vision means. He's remembering Jesus' words, even remembering his own words. Maybe he's sitting on the roof and these things come to mind and he's considering what he must do now. Thinking, is God really allowing unclean Gentiles to be included? Can they be a part of the kingdom of God? Is that what this vision really means? Jesus' words echo in Peter's mind, "Do not call unclean what I have made clean." This isn't about food. The vision it's a kind of warning. It's a heads up to what's coming. Because while Peter is still thinking about the vision and wondering what it's about, the Holy Spirit says, "Okay, let me spell it out for you. You're not getting the vision. Let me just tell you. Three men are coming. Do not hesitate." And that word hesitate can be translated to discriminate. Do not hesitate. Do not discriminate. Go with these men. Go with them. Three men are coming. Go with them. Peter's getting a heads up. The vision's not about food. It's about people. The men arrive, and surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, they're Gentiles. Unclean, dirty Gentiles. Three men come. There's that number again, three. Peter denied the vision three times. He said, "Surely not, Lord," three times, and now there are three men. Could be a coincidence, but maybe not. Because no longer is Peter saying no to some obscure law. Peter is saying no to three people. These denials now have faces. They represent three people who could be saved by the grace of God. So the men come and they stop at the gate and they ask for Peter. They stop at the gate because they know they're not allowed in. If they go into the house, they will make the house and everyone in there unclean. They stop at the gate. They're unclean. They're outsiders. So Peter goes out to talk and they're talking over this gate. Still, the men are still outside and he already knows what he has to do. Have you ever known that you should do something, but you just kind of had your doubts? You kind of hesitated. You weren't sure what to do. I feel like that's where Peter is right now. God's kind of spelled it out for him. This is where I'm going. The Holy Spirit's going this way. Come along. But he's still not sure. So the men explain why they're there. They're sent from a man named Cornelius. And for us, this is the first we've heard of this Cornelius, and this is the first that Peter's heard of him. But we are in the middle of a larger story here. If we go back to the beginning of the chapter, the beginning of chapter 10, we learn about this Cornelius. We learn that he's a Roman centurion. We see that he and his family are devout and God-fearing, Luke says. He gives generously to the poor. And Luke says that he prays continuously. Now, he may be devout and God-fearing, but he's still not Jewish. He's still excluded. He's still an outsider. He is still a Gentile. We learn, though, from these men that Cornelius had a vision as well. Apparently, God speaks to unclean Gentiles, just like he might speak to Peter. All of this whole story, is so controversial. Peter's vision, Cornelius's vision, the talking with these Gentile men, the fact that these people are coming together is so controversial. But the most controversial thing happens at the end of the passage. Peter invites these men in to be his guests. Peter invites them in. Not only that, you have to know that Peter's starving by this time. He was on the roof, he was praying, then he had the vision, he was confused about the vision, then the men come, so he goes straight down there. He hasn't had time to eat yet. He's got to be starving. So when the men come in, they probably have a meal together. They probably eat together. I can just hear Peter's Jewish friends back home. They say, wait, Peter, you invited unclean, dirty Gentiles in to be your guests? You shared a meal with them? What if they would have touched your food? What if they would have touched you or your kids? What if they would have got their uncleanness on you? This story is not about food. It seems like Peter's finally caught up to what God is up to when he invites them in. Through Jesus' sacrifice, God is expanding his people beyond the Jewish people. Peter's finally catching up. Do not call unclean what I have made clean. The vision and story with Peter isn't about food. It's about holiness. It's about what it means to be the people of God, a holy people. Holiness is inclusive, not exclusive. A holy life is a radically inclusive life. Let me say that again. A holy life is a radically inclusive life. All around us, God is moving and God is including more and more people, different people, strange people, poor people, unclean, unkempt people, rude, annoying people. God is including all these people. Jesus opened the door for all people to be a part of this community. All people. Peter's finally catching up with that. Let's come back to our high school freshman. He stands there looking at you, waiting, hoping that you invite him. And you have a choice. You can include him, or you can ignore him. You could just look away and pretend like you didn't see him there. The truth is, this isn't just a high school situation. This is a life situation. We're presented with this choice every day with the people around us. There are people all around you who are waiting to be included. You know them. You know their names, their families. You probably know their stories. These people are around you waiting to be included. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and to end, we're going to sing the doxology. But I want to leave you with a few questions. And I hope, I pray that as we leave here and this week, they will ring in your mind and your heart this week. Who is that person, that family, who needs to be included? Are they a little different, a little strange, a little unclean? Will you include them? Would you share a meal with them? Would you invite them to your table? Would you invite them to your church? Now, I know that many of us here know this community, are a part of this people. But I also know that there may be some here who aren't. They feel like they're still on the outside. Feel like you're strange, maybe. A little unclean, unkempt. I want you to know that today you are included. You are invited to be a part of this people. Jesus' arms are open and he's inviting you in. You are invited to come and be a part of this people. Your place is here. So as we leave here in just a few moments, I want you to be included, to be a part of this people. But also, I want to ask you, will you practice a life of holiness by being radically inclusive? Will you stand as we prepare to pray?